So before our reading, just going to let you know where we are in this whole narrative lectionary business. So we've finished our trek through the Gospel of John. Last week with the story of Thomas, that was our last story for the year out of the Gospel of John. And now we're moving into the book of Acts. And Acts is actually the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. So Luke and Acts were written by the same person, and they're just a continuation. Acts is a continuation of the story of the Gospel of Luke. And if you, like I said earlier, it's still Easter, so we're still getting stories about the resurrection, stories of the risen Christ. The kids told us the story last week of the risen Christ appearing to Thomas and the other disciples. And then this week, it's a little different because we get the risen Christ appearing to Saul in a vision with this blinding light and a voice. The risen Christ appears to Saul in that way. And then as we continue to move forward into Acts, the risen Christ, we will hear stories of how the risen Christ is active in and through the followers of Jesus and how they continue his ministry in what was growing and becoming the church. So Acts is the story of the church, really, and how we see the risen Christ through the church, active and at work in the world. So today is our third Sunday of Easter, and like Kelsey said, we're going to hear this story about Jesus appearing to Saul and how Saul was not a very nice person. He first appears in Scripture in chapter 7 in the book of Acts, and he shows up with the story of the stoning of a disciple named Stephen. And Saul was there. Everybody laid their cloaks at his feet. He was in charge of watching the coats, I guess, while they threw the rocks to kill this man. And Scripture very explicitly says that Saul approved of the stoning of Stephen. So we know that about him. And we also know that he personally went into the homes of followers of Jesus and dragged them out and had them arrested as part of the persecution of the church in Jerusalem. So that's what we know about Saul leading into today's story. So please stand now for our gospel or for our scripture reading. Our reading today comes from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Word of God, word of life. Please be seated. So here's the thing about Saul. Saul was a religious man. He was a faithful man. He was knowledgeable. He was well educated. He was a leader in his religious community. And Saul really believed that he was doing the work of God. He believed that the followers of Jesus were getting things wrong, that they were messing things up. Saul believed that the followers of Jesus were not being true to the faith, at least the way that he understood it. So his persecution of Christians was an act of faithfulness in his eyes. Does that sound familiar? How often have people been hurt or oppressed by people of faith who believed that they were doing the work of God? But that is how Saul saw himself, as a devout and religious man. But from the perspective of the storyteller, the one telling us this story in the book of Acts, who was a Christian, Saul is the enemy. He's the bad guy. And it's this bad guy that the risen Jesus appears to in a vision. Once again, God does what God does and chooses the least likely person for the job. God chooses this bad guy to become the greatest missionary in the church, in that early church, because that's what Saul goes on to become. He becomes this great missionary who starts churches all over the place and encourages them and helps them to grow. And he writes letters to them that become part of our scripture, part of our Bible. That became his legacy. But this is where he starts. As a self-righteous, zealously pious person who had people arrested who thought differently than him, just to get them out of his church. And this is who God chooses to spread the gospel, to be the founder and the foundation of so many churches. When I wrote that sentence, my modern ear went, "Well, that explains a lot." That's our history. That's where we come from, and how many churches have gone on to do the same thing for generations. But the point of all of this in this story, the point of this unexpected and surprising choice, is that God can change hearts. God's love can do God's work even through this guy. So now let's talk about Ananias. Ananias here is put in a really difficult situation because he's heard all about this guy, Saul, and he is not excited about God's decision to send him to go minister to and care for Saul. Because again, to Ananias, Saul is the enemy. Ananias is being asked to go and minister to and care for the very person who has breathed threats and murder against the disciples. his friends. I can understand why Ananias didn't want to go, why he would want to just leave Saul behind and not help him. Saul was a bully. And Ananias probably thinks that leaving him out of commission would help more people in the long run. But God tells Ananias that despite everything Saul has done, God has chosen Saul and is going to use him for good. So in the story, both Saul and Ananias are asked to change in big ways. Or more accurately, God works to change Saul and Ananias in big ways. Saul's heart is opened up to this new thing that God is doing through Jesus and the disciples. And Ananias's heart is opened up to see this new thing that God is doing in Saul. It's important to note that Saul is not excused for his behavior. The violence and the persecution that he enacted, it's not excused or accepted. Jesus calls him out on it, and he's asked to change. And it is in that change of heart, that Saul then becomes what he'd always wanted to be, an instrument of God in the world. So this story is about God's radical and amazing and annoying grace. Grace that extends to everybody, even the people that we don't think deserve it. Even the people that we think have it wrong. Even the people who have behaved badly. Even the people that we may want to just write off as the bad guy. God's grace extends even to them. I called God's grace annoying because it messes with all of our self-righteousness. Even when we are sure that we are right and that the other person is in the wrong, God still loves them. Even when we are sure that what we stand for and believe in is what God wants for the world, and that the other person is being hurtful, God still loves them. Annoying and challenging and hard. It is hard to hear in this story the uncomfortable truth that even the ones we would confidently call the bad guys, God's grace and love is still given to them. It is challenging and hard to hear that we are called, like Ananias, to extend love and care to those that we might think the world would be better off without. Like I said, Saul is called to change his behavior, and he does. But Ananias is called to change the way that he sees Saul even before that change happens. He is called to go and care for and minister to Saul. And he does. And he calls Saul brother. He sees him as a fellow child of God. This all-encompassing and truly unconditional love of God that we are called to share, it's not easy. It's hard, and it's a challenge. And yet, along with this challenge comes the extremely good news for us that God's annoyingly persistent and entirely inclusive grace also never gives up on us. No matter how wrong we are or how badly we mess up, no matter what, God's love continues to work change within us. God's love continues to open our hearts to the vastness of God's love. A love so big that it includes all of us. Our whole selves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And each and every person. Thanks be to God. Amen.